It's with the Lord's help that is a desire that we would read together from Hebrews chapter 13. I'd like to read the entire chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer. It's a very fitting hymn that we opened the service with. Thee alone, beloved Savior. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews takes great pains to explain how Jesus Christ himself was greater than all of the messages that had foreshadowed his arrival, that were given in the Old Testament through the prophets. And he encourages and exhorts them to have their focus and set their affection on and attention upon Jesus Christ, him alone. And as he concludes this epistle, the Spirit inspired him to give exhortations of how this focus upon Jesus Christ and this faith in Jesus Christ would be lived and carried out. What greater command could we begin with than that of love and hospitality and understanding? We even prayed about that the Lord would develop within us and give us that love. And that is the hope for this evening, that the Lord would implant within us and lighten the flame of love within our hearts, and that would be our prayer, and that would be our choice. For it says here, let brotherly love continue. I appreciate how the brother brought out in the prayer that we are not instructed to try to act brotherly, but to allow the reality of what is within our hearts to come forth freely. And if the reality that is within our hearts is Jesus Christ and him crucified, if we open the door and allow that to come forth from our lips and from our actions, it will be nothing but the pure love that is called for. And it is a choice to let it come forth. We can hold it back, but we're encouraged to let the reality of our hearts come out so that we can see where we stand, so that we can fulfill that which we are called to, because Jesus Christ has called us to love one another, to love our enemies, to love the brotherhood. Even as he has loved us so that we would love one another. This is his commandment. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Don't be forgetful or negligent to be sharing this love and hospitality with those whom you don't know. And as Jesus has instructed us, with those who you may never have an opportunity to be repaid. Strangers, someone who maybe you have never met. You don't know what to expect from them. Do they know what to expect from Christ's followers? We can teach them. We can show them the way. And the writer says something that's very intriguing as he concludes this verse. Some have entertained angels unawares. We remember when Abraham greeted his three visitors and they went on to Sodom and Gomorrah, and how he opened up his home and provided for them. And we wonder Does that happen? Does that happen today? We are called, actually, to be a demonstration of the wisdom of God to angelic beings and to principalities and powers. It's not something that we often think of, though, but it weaves its way through Scripture as a theme that we can, when we take notice of, be humbled, because often we forget and often we don't realize what is going on around us. The spiritual battles, the angels and those that are watching. Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, speaking of his ministry to the Gentiles to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, or the things that had been hidden and now revealed through the gospel. And he says that it was to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God has an intention that the church would demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God unto principalities and powers in heavenly places. You remember in the Old Testament when the prophet and his young apprentice were surrounded by the armies, and the prophet prayed for the young man that his eyes would be opened, that he would see that there were far greater forces for them than against them. What would we see if God would open our eyes to the intention that he has for our church, that powers and principalities and angels would be able to see the demonstration of the wisdom of God? When we think of that wisdom, we think of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And that is what God intends the church to demonstrate to men and to angels, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's quite a humbling and amazing thing that is taking place. The Word teaches us plainly, but we often are unaware or don't realize and say, well, maybe we're just going to church and we're seeing our friends. But there is something spiritual taking place when we assemble. There is something that we are demonstrating when we come together by our love one toward another, towards our obedience to the faith, towards the way that we worship. We're demonstrating that we want to and we choose to come into God's kingdom and his order. Let's do a good job. Let's do that thoroughly. Let's do that humbly and with God's help, not being forgetful of what is God's intent for us. And these angels, they're actually very interested. They're not just sitting around casually or concerned about something else a little bit more. No, Peter talks about this too. He writes in his first epistle, in the first chapter, talking about those old prophecies that had come of old time. The prophets were searching diligently. What was the Spirit revealing about the coming of Christ? And then he says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. Those prophecies that came in the Old Testament that spoke of Jesus Christ are for our benefit. And continuing on, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They would like to learn the lesson of redemption of man and what it means to have a free will, and that that will would be surrendered to God, and that God would work in man who is so unworthy. Let's tell that story. Let's tell that story of God's work and of how he has opened up the way for us to become a part of his family. The angels are desiring to look into. And our friends and children, they're also desiring to see a credible example of that taking place. Let's do our best, with God's help, to tell the story and to demonstrate the wisdom of God. Not ourselves, but Christ in us, our hope of glory and our joy. Jesus also taught us that we're not so quick to realize all the things that are happening. And he tells us that when we would share of the abundance that God has blessed us with the least of his brethren, we're not only blessing angels, but we're doing it as unto him. Let's not forget what's really taking place and what we're really called to when we're asked to let brotherly love continue and not be forgetful to help those who we have no expectation of a return. We truly don't see everything. Certainly in the spiritual realms, our understanding does not even scratch the surface of what's taking place. But also very practically in the physical realm too. Do you know what happened to the person that's sitting next to you this week? Do you know what battles they've been fighting? What fears and burdens they're carrying? Do you know if they struggle with separating from friends that are leading them into sin and are looking for help? Do you know how hard it was for them to come tonight? Do you know how much they need you to be in prayer that God would fill your heart with love and that he would help you choose to love and to be that instrument that empties him or herself and says, yes, Lord, your command is number one, and I'm ready. And that's my choice. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. You never really know about a struggle or a challenge or a temptation till you go through it yourself. And sometimes those who have gone through hard times are so well prepared for the opportunities that are abundant to relate to someone, to be understanding, to reach out to them and say, I care about you just as if I was there. It says, as bound with them. You've been through temptations. You've seen the Lord work. You've seen his faithfulness. And you have a story to tell. You have a story that can help someone who is struggling in the bonds of sin, because you can point to Christ. You can speak his message. If we don't, who will? Will the rocks cry out? Or will we be responsible? How about those that suffer adversity, who are facing challenges, who are facing decisions, who are in need of wisdom, advice, and counsel, who are in need of more than a discussion about the weather and if they saw the latest news reports, who would rather forget about all the things that are happening? And just need to deal with today. Do you know how to connect with someone like that? I know that there are several, many, and we all in some way can. Some people struggle with it. Some people are very gifted and blessed with that empathy and being able to connect with somebody. And I look at those of you who are, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I'm so thankful that we have one another. Because I've been through things, but you've been through different things. And you can serve certain people, and I can serve certain people. There are certain needs that you uniquely can fulfill because God has placed you in the body for that particular purpose. And I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to act. Don't be afraid to follow through with the prompting that the Spirit is laying upon your heart. Because it's Jesus' command. And we need to be all about what Jesus has told us to do. We can give a very vivid picture and demonstration of the wisdom of God. And that verse in Ephesians says the manifold wisdom of God. We know what a manifold is, right? With the exhaust manifold, where all the exhaust from all the cylinders are coming together. It has many facets. And it's coming together into one. Okay? It's multifaceted, like a gem. It has many facets and it gleams and glitters from different sides to show its beauty and its value. The wisdom of God is multifaceted. And it's demonstrated in a church which is made up of many different members. A multifaceted body. And I think of an example of just a beautiful nature documentary that maybe you've seen. The cameras that they have now are so crisp, and they can capture the image in the foreground and blur the image in the background and bring to life the thing that you want to see in focus. And there's just such sharp, crisp lines. And that's one of us. But then there's somebody else that brings in the color and the vibrancy to show that there's something distinct about this creature and displaying the beauty and wisdom of God to put the bright colors there and the dull colors there, all for his purpose and for his glory. And then you have the facet of the sound that, that comes in and you hear the rustling of the leaves or what they're doing or the music that's on top of things. And you get this multi-sensory experience, and it's something that's captivating. It's something that's drawing people in. And that's a vision for the church to demonstrate and be the part that we have been called to be. And it took some hard times for you and I to be prepared to serve. But God knows that it's worth it. And it's for His glory. I'd just like to conclude with a verse from the Zion's Harp that touched my heart. It speaks about love, talks about it like a fire. It says, "Still now that holy fire of heaven warms hearts that once were dead and cold. Sin-wounded souls are healed and given by their deliverance joys untold. That fire consumes all proud behavior, all selfishness, impurity, and magnifies the love, dear Savior, of those who put their trust in Thee. Thou art the fount of love unending, Thou breath of life from heaven above. May not prevent Thee, Lord, from sending into our hearts this fire of love." That last line really caught my attention. Our prayer is that the Lord would let nothing prevent Him from sending into our hearts this fire of love. And we are commanded to make the choice, to have the prayer, "Let brotherly love continue." Let not prevent Thee, Lord, from sending Thy love into our hearts. That choice is up to us. May God give us wisdom. May God stir us to follow His commands, and in keeping them and bringing glory to Him, may we find our perfect place in His family. May God bless His word. Amen.
Is a practical life, and the driving force behind that life must be love. It must be. And we know that it is love that in an eternity past planned the way of salvation. The salvation plan was created by love. And we know it is love that brought Jesus down to give Himself for us. And it is love that is shed abroad in the hearts of believers by the Holy Spirit. It's all love. That has to be the driving force of my life. It must be. And He says here, "Let your conversation..." Doesn't it seem like it seems out of suddenly just a sudden switch? It says, "Let your conversation or your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" He's speaking here of a life that relies upon Jesus Christ. He says, and then Jesus suddenly, it says in verse 8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Our lives need to be consistent. There can't be all these mood swings and just swinging back and forth, extremes left and right. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our lives in love, as the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of believers, we must have the same consistency. Our reliance must be on him. Let your moderation be known unto all men. This is love. James says in chapter 8, he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We sang to him, the love of Jesus, love of brothers, healing for all ills ensures. What does? Love of Jesus, love of brothers. Grant thy life that evil smothers. What will do that? The love of God. That's what will smother evil and will keep my heart unspotted and pure. In the second hymn we sang, preserve the first love's high perfection. Love is the mark that makes it clear that we are thy disciples here. It has to be the driving force. It has to be. Or it's not a life in Christ. That's what will mark us, whether we are true believers. Have we ever thought about, we look at our lives, what is my life like? And we look at what we did, how we lived, what we said. Have we ever thought, do I love my brother because he is my brother? Love can never be misconstrued. Never. It's always known. I cannot say, but I love you, but I can't, I'm not showing it. It has to be the force behind me. It has to be my life. Or it's no life in Christ. May God bless his word this evening upon our hearts, that we truly be able to live a life of love for Jesus and love for one another. Amen.